War! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War! Ah, good God! What is it good for?
There's a free agent quarterback who wanted to get paid after winning 6 Super Bowls in Foxborough. But the Patriots said, no way. That's not our way. We don't pay our players. So the quarterback went to Tampa. He went to Tampa. That's the way Tom Brady ended up in Tampa. Well, let's welcome Stephen Shea, NFL expert extraordinaire, talk about this free agent signing period, which is the only thing going on in sports as everyone is isolated, dying in quarantine of suffering, of boredom, of misery. Welcome aboard.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, Steve. Obviously, you've had a good week so far, and let's not beat around the bush. Tom Brady left the New England Patriots, where he won 6 Super Bowls and played 20 years as the most winningest quarterback in NFL history, to come to your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What can you say about that? Like, were you shocked? Like,
conceptually, I was shocked. You know, Tampa Bay is not a big market. They're not necessarily a destination for free agents typically. But that being said, personnel-wise, it was the best fit out there. I mean, they had the best weapons to offer him. I mean, they don't have the best offensive line, but they definitely have some players. They have a very good interior of their line.
And don't forget about the best thing that Tampa has to offer: no state income tax.
That is true. So his dollar is going to be worth more. You know, his contract's going to be whatever it is, and you know, it's going to be more money than it would be in New York or wherever, or Boston. But yeah, I mean, it's very exciting. It leads me, for the first time in a while, to have very realistically high expectations, just because we've never had a quarterback that has a resume like this.
But you forget one thing. He'll be 43 years old this year.
I know. Yeah, he's...
It's funny how many great players end up playing just one last year or two last years in the strangest of places. I mean, you had... Michael Jordan in the Wizards uniform, which still looks weird to me, especially the Wizards. God, Wizards. And this is when he wore that had that pajama like logo.
Yes,
with that
correct.
Stupid like that stupid like conjuring up wizard like the color blue and goldish, purplish and goldish. It was like a weird blue. It wasn't even a good blue. It was a weird blue.
It was a very weird blue. Yes.
And then you had Joe Montana with the Chiefs.
I mean, he took them to the AFC Championship game.
That's
he
true. Did well.
Yep. What about Joe Namath too?
Rams.
Yep.
Johnny Unitas with the San Diego Chargers.
That's weird.
Yeah, I mean Favre with the Jets and the Vikings. I mean, he went to the. I think they went 10-6 with Favre in New York with the Jets, or maybe 9-7. But he went to the NFC Championship game with the Vikings. They were, you know, realistically one play away from making the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so they've had some of them were successful, some of them weren't.
I mean, Peyton Manning left Indianapolis after the neck injury and went to the Broncos.
But well, he won a Super Bowl there. We had Babe Ruth played with the Boston Braves.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully this is a situation that is more similar to Peyton Manning. I mean, Peyton Manning, his first year in Denver when they lost to Seattle, had a career year. He had 55 touchdowns.
We had Bobby Orr actually played for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yep.
Martin Brodeur with the Blues. With the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah. And now PK Subban with the Devils, Frank.
I wouldn't hardly can put him in that class.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm kidding. Yeah, but I mean, I still think Brady does have, you know, he has some stuff left in the tank, definitely. And like you were saying, Steve, like these are the best receivers he's had in his career right away with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And, you know, he has OJ Howard and your boy Cameron Brate.
Yep.
What do you think's next for them? Todd Gurley just got released by the Rams today. You think they go and pick him up?
I don't know. I mean, he wasn't assuming he clears waivers and is, you know, I don't think anybody's going to pick up any part of that contract, but assuming he's willing to come on for a reasonable deal, I think he's certainly an option. I mean, he's got an arthritic knee, so that is always a concern when for any player, let alone a running back. He did look a little bit better last year, but just never got the workload. And you have to think that the medical staff and Sean McVay know something about that, which is why they weren't giving him the workload. So I don't know. I mean, he's only 25 years old, so maybe I would anticipate maybe we draft a running back. I mean, Melvin Gordon is still out there. I don't know that we're necessarily going to be paying top dollar for a running back. We do have some cap still. Also, a few like housekeeping things to keep in mind. And Ndamukong Suh hasn't been re-signed yet. A few other guys. So hopefully we can keep a lot of the same roster intact with just the main position that changes being quarterback.
Carlos Hyde is another guy, too, who's out there who maybe, you know, he could be, you know, worth at least kicking the tires on. He's not going to be too expensive. You know, he's still a pretty productive player. Lamar Miller, too, I believe, is going to be a free agent. Speaking of the Texans, now, obviously, Miller will be leaving the Texans, but what the hell were they doing? What were they thinking with that trade with DeAndre Hopkins?
It was very weird because typically in that situation, David Johnson was rumored to be being traded for a while. He had a contract, I don't want to say similar to Todd Gurley's, but it was also viewed as an albatross. So for them, for the Cardinals to dump it, the thinking was they would have to pay at least a portion of that. And if they weren't going to, they would have to attach an asset. But what ended up happening was they traded a second-round pick for the Texans, one of their best players in DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best receivers in the league. And the Texans had to absorb the entire salary. I think this is the...
Bill O'Brien now has unlimited power in Houston.
Yeah, well, I mean, they fired their GM. They didn't hire a replacement early last season.
And basically, Bill O'Brien basically went over to him and said that, you know, you remind me of...
Aaron Hernandez.
What?
Right.
that's not what he said, though, and everything was taken out of context. He said, the last time I had to have a conversation with a player like this, it was Aaron Hernandez. That's what he said. That's not a great way to start off a conversation, you know, to compare it to speaking with a murderer. But
that reminds me of Jeff Ireland when he was general manager of the Dolphins. And he walked over pre-draft meetings and went over to do Dez Bryant and said that. So, Dez, what was your mother? What did your father? He was a pimp. What did your mother do? He worked for my father. So your mother was a prostitute?
Oh, my God. Didn't Dez Bryant shoot, like, a gun at his mom or something? Like, I heard there was some kind of odd rumor back, like, this was years ago.
He punched a woman in the Walmart parking lot that apparently they have tapes for and haven't released it.
Oh, my God. Well, this was pre-Ray Rice. That's why. Like, we've talked about this many times on the show. Like, before Ray Rice, the thing with Ray Rice happened, like, players used to get away with a lot more shit than they do now.
Sure, yeah. I mean,
you remember Goodell gave Ray Rice a two-game suspension on the wheel of punishment.
Yes.
And then the video came out, and then he was like, hamada, 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 hamada.
Something that's not talked about, speaking of Roger Goodell, is he's probably almost done. I would assume that there's going to be a new commissioner in the next 2 years. It came out pretty recently, I think Peter King said it, that his next big tentpole, Goodell's like final thing he wanted to accomplish was getting the CBA done. So I would be surprised if in the next 2 years there is not a new commissioner.
I wanted to bring that up too. What are your thoughts on the new CBA? And also, like, do you think that there's a potential frontrunner to take over as commissioner of the NFL?
I don't know. I mean, Troy Vincent was the head of the Players Association for a long time and does a lot with the league. I think he could be a guy.
They'll never put a Player Association guy on there.
Don't be so sure about that.
They'll never do that.
So watch them do it next.
Yeah. sorry, what was your other question, Pat, about that?
Yeah, sorry, that was kind of a loaded question. But like, what are your thoughts on the new CBA?
Oh, the new CBA.
Like,
oh, right.
Yeah, you like it?
I don't love the 17th game, but I mean, everything else, you know, the players get an increased share of revenue, the extra, less padded practices is very good for the players. There's going to be the mandatory bye week after the third preseason game, which should be good. Seven teams making the playoffs from each conference.
The one thing I wish they would do is I wish they would add a second bye week for everyone.
Yes, I do too. That would push everything to President's Day weekend, which would be the ideal.
That's what I want. That's what I think the NFL needs to do. I mean, they need to nurse it to President's Day weekend.
Agreed. Yeah, that would be that.
And
would be
this would be a rule I would want. If you play on Thursday Night Football, you have to be coming off a bye.
Yes, I agree. I like that rule as well.
Yeah, that is smart. So my question is, is this effective now 2020 or is this 2021 that this is going to be put into place?
It depends on which rule. So the 17 game season can't be put in place till 2021.
Yes. Yeah.
The seven playoff teams could be put in place as early as this season. So all the details are not finalized. They agreed upon the framework of it, but like the finer points have to be tuned.
I like it, but you know, especially for last year too, because the seven seeds would have been the Rams and the Steelers, who were competitive teams. Besides, the Steelers did have some two bad quarterback play with Ben out. But it's funny because the Cowboys still wouldn't have made the playoffs even with this new rule. But I know I like it. I'm definitely all for it. I think the bye week is definitely overrated. Like, I would rather my team not have a first round bye, because honestly, that's kind of the curse. Like, waiting that long. Like, look at the Ravens last year. The last time the Giants had the first round bye, like, they were knocked out, you know, one and done. Like, it's really like waiting. The longer you wait in sports like that, like for playoffs and stuff, like, the less likely you are to have momentum. You know, it's kind of like,
I would rather them put eight teams in personally.
And then have no buys?
No buys.
Wow. I like the seven because it does place, like, I mean, if you have the option of being the two seed and playing the number seven seed, which could be a team that, you know, gets hot towards the end of the year and makes a run, or having a bye and, you know, having to come off of, you know, potentially resting your players, I would definitely choose the bye just because you're 100% certain to at least be playing the next weekend. I definitely understand the value of repetition and being a creature of habit with, you know, your pregame and, you know, postgame rituals. But at the same time, like, it affords a lot of teams time to get healthy in a time of year where they're probably a little bit banged up.
I think that the another good thing about this, too, is like the NFL truly is any given Sunday. Any team can win in any game. It's not like it's a super, you know, we're going to see a lot of upsets. That's really what I like. You know, we are going to see a lot of seven seeds upset two seeds and so on. Like, we're going to see a lot of that. And I think that's what makes the NFL the greatest league in sports, in my opinion. One of the pitfalls, though, definitely is like we might wind up seeing some 7-9 teams in the playoffs, which like we saw in 2010 with the Seattle Seahawks, and they actually upset the Saints with the Beast Mode run, Marshawn Lynch. But other than that, I don't really want
to. I think you have more chance of that happening to a poor division, a poor team winning the division, than you have of the wild card spot.
Well, lately, I mean, especially with the NFC, the NFC has a ton of good teams, and even the AFC did really well last year, and teams like the Titans, you know, are coming on.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Look at the NFC. Look at how bad the Eagles in the NFC East was last year, while the Rams, as you said, missed the playoffs.
Yep, and the Cowboys were, like, fully healthy, and, like, they couldn't win that division, which was embarrassing. You know, definitely a testament to Jason Garrett, and then also just, like, you know, Dak Prescott, and I don't know what your thoughts about him are, Steve, but like, I think Dak Prescott is a very, very overrated quarterback who, yes, he has good games against the bad teams, but he's really, really does not show up against the good teams or in big games. He's kind of leaving off where, you know, where Romo, you know, left it when Romo retired. Romo was never good in big games either.
I like that Dak Prescott as a player. I think they're in a tough spot because, you know, you're franchising him, so you're going to reset the market with him. But as soon as Pat Mahomes signs this deal, we're going to be looking at $40+ million for a quarterback. Are you going to want to pay Dak that much? You know, that's with the cap being, you know, just under $200 million. That's going to be, you know, 20% of your cap. That's pretty significant. So if you're not all in on the player, that puts you in a tough spot. So do they franchise him twice in a row, like you know Washington did with Kirk Cousins, and then just let him leave? I don't know, but I think franchising Dak, this season puts them in a very big pickle coming up for next year.
I've always felt that they should separate the quarterback from the cap. Yes, I think because the quarterback is such an important position that you're giving all these quarterbacks all that money, and it's really killing your team. It's really killing your team if you have to pay your quarterback.
Well,
I mean, look at the Seahawks when they had their run was before Russell Wilson got paid, and yep. The Chiefs, they're having their runs before Patrick Mahomes needs to be paid. I mean, and Tom Brady, he's finally getting paid. I mean, Tom Brady sacrificed for so many years for the putting off getting paid to get good players around him.
Well, look at what happened with the Rams. They, you know, they paid Goff, and then look, like he took a big step back last year.
And how about today? They released Todd Gurley.
Yeah, that's exactly like Todd Gurley. You know, got paid, and he had knee issues since college, and you know, he was their workhorse in the Super Bowl season 2018, and he really broke down by the end of the year, and I think that's why they knew they're like, all right, he can't go for another workload like he did the year before. They gave more carries to Malcolm Brown. Todd Gurley still rushed for almost 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, but at the same time, he was not the player. He's not the player he was because, you know, obviously, like you said, Steve, they're scared that like his health is going to break down. He does.
The NFL takes running backs, drinks them like like shotguns them like they're beer cans, and then crushes them against their head and throws them off to the curb.
Well, Frank, the thing is, there were signs of this when he was coming out of Georgia. He tore his ACL in college, you know, so they knew. They knew that there was some risk with that pick. I mean, it still hurts me today because the Giants drafted Ereck Flowers, a pick before.
Oh, God, don't talk that name to me.
He just got paid, too.
By Frank's favorite team, the Miami Dolphins.
they should put a bell on Ereck Flowers because it's like going through a glass door. I'd rather put a potted plant on the offensive line because that is actually a better blocker than Ereck Flowers.
The thing is, though, he had a decent year with the Redskins last year, and Bill, you know, they moved him to guard, and Bill Callahan, you know, is one of the best line coaches in the league, and they helped resurrect his career. But like now, he got paid, and historically, he's lazy and has a bad attitude.
Yeah,
and he's very lazy in his technique too. Let's see what he does on the Dolphins.
Yeah. Nobody's ever been worse. Makes me feel happy for the rest. Nobody's ever played as horrible as him. Baby, he's the worst.
Going back to the Rams, I think we're at a point in time right now where nobody's questioned it yet because he made the Super Bowl. Obviously, they didn't win it. But is Sean McVay actually kind of killing this team with kind of the decisions that they made? Like, they're bringing in all these guys for, you know, veterans on kind of prove-it deals that are leaving. So, you know, Dante Fowler just had a really good year, and they just kind of let him walk. And Ndamukong Suh the year before that, they just kind of let him walk. Guys that still have stuff left in the tank, whereas they are signing some guys to really big deals like Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, that aren't providing immediate dividends and almost immediately have buyer's remorse. Brandon Cook's another one.
Yep. Well, look at it now. Like, they just released Gurley. They released Clay Matthews. They couldn't re-sign Dante Fowler, and they had to let go of Nickel Roby, whatever his name is, the corner. So, like, they are in some trouble.
The Rams look like they reached the Super Bowl, and now they're plummeting back to being the Rams again.
Want to know why, though, too? They weren't a team, besides Aaron Donald and Jared Goff and Todd Gurley, they're not really a team who built through the draft. They're built through free agency.
Exactly. Yep.
That's not how you build a long-term winner. That's like, people kill me for defending Dave Gettleman, and everyone hates on Dave Gettleman. There's a lot of bias, national bias against him in the media. But you can knock him all you want. The guy knows how to build through the draft, and that's where the winners, like the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Packers, how have they stayed relevant and goods for so long? They know how to draft. They don't have bare cupboards. Like, yes, they signed free agents to, you know, to complement what they have, but they historically they built through the draft. So,
the Chiefs don't have a lot of players that play the ultimate. Most of their players, their core players, are from the draft.
Look at the Chiefs too. Last year, the Chiefs didn't have a first round pick. They had 2 second round picks, and they drafted Mecole Hardman and Juan Thornhill, who were both amazing last year.
Yeah. I think I'm not a Gettleman hater. I do think he sounds kind of ignorant when he does do press conferences in the media. But yeah, I mean, you see a lot of the draft picks that he's made, even like late round picks, like an undrafted guys like Darius Slayton really working out. You know, I wasn't a fan of Saquon at two, but, you know, Saquon's a really good player. I'd argue the positional value is not there, but, you know, I think Daniel Jones is a good player too. So they passed on Sam Darnold and Josh Allen and those guys, and Josh Rosen, who maybe are fully up in the air. You know, there's some questions about all those guys, really. Whereas Daniel Jones, you know, there's questions about him, but he also looks pretty good.
Josh Rosen's about to find himself out of the league.
Yeah, that's right.
My biggest issue with Dave Gettleman is he's presided over, I believe, 7 drafts, and never once in any round, ever in those 7 drafts, has he traded down.
Yeah, that's the book on him. This year might be different. I think that if the Chargers really want Tua, they might try and hop over the Dolphins at 5 and swap picks with the Giants, and I think that would be perfect. And I don't think
three is the fork in the road, because the Lions aren't going to stay and pick a corner at 3.
They're just not
going to do it. Yeah.
So maybe the Chargers trade with the Lions. That could be it.
Or the Dolphins. The Dolphins could get that. Could jump in there.
Yeah.
I think the Redskins should draft Tua. I'm not sold on Haskins at all. He really, really was really bad.
Yeah, he had a good last couple games.
He did.
Their defense is so bad.
I mean, they got a lot of first-round talent on the defensive line. You know, you got the 2 Alabama defensive tackles, Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne, who are both nice players. Who was the guy? Montez Sweat last year out of Mississippi State. Yep. You got Ryan Kerrigan still, who's like an older guy, but also a first-round pick. You bring in Chase Young, and you're following kind of the 49ers model of the Eagles model of just constantly drafting defensive line, which, when you look at the history of teams that have won the NFL, that's how you do it.
You know what, though? They could really use secondary help. I think that they would be, you know, pretty well off with Okuda. And, I don't. I think that they would have to trade with, if the Chargers or the Dolphins wanted to hop up there to, you know, ensure that they get to it. Because I think that the Chargers and Dolphins should really be lobbying for them. I'm not entirely sold on Justin Herbert, but I feel like the runner-up is that we'll probably draft him.
Yeah.
But the Bengals, who knows what the Bengals are going to do? Do they really want to pay Joe Burrow?
Yes, they do. They want Joe Burrow, and they're going to get Joe Burrow. And Frank, he already has influence over them. He told them, no, you guys keep AJ Green. They were going to let AJ Green walk. He said, no, you're keeping AJ Green. They made some moves in free agency. They have Joe Mixon. They have Terrence Boyd. They have John Ross. Like, they have some weapons, and they
Poor Joe Burrow ending up in that situation.
I'm not honestly.
Jonah Williams, left tackle from Alabama, first round pick last year, didn't play, so he'll be back.
That's right, and like honestly, like Andy Dalton had that team winning, going to the playoffs at least every year. Joe Burrow could take it to the next level. I think that they're not as far off as people think. I think Joe Burrow, as long as Joe Burrow, we spoke about Daniel Jones and we spoke about the 2018 draft class. Honestly. Besides Lamar Jackson in that class, I would, right now at least, would probably take Daniel Jones over. Like, Daniel Jones is a more polished passer than anyone in that class, besides maybe Lamar. But honestly, Lamar's not known for his passing, but he's still the MVP. So respect
him. Now, here's the interesting situation. And that's Jameis Winston, who I think right now is probably the best free agent out there.
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't really have a dance partner. I mean, does he go to the Chargers? Like, I don't think Anthony Lynn is necessarily going to tie his career. He's in kind of a make it or break it year with the Chargers.
Do you really want to go?
We struck out on Tom Brady. Here's John.
Could he end up in New England and finally have
no
get the discipline and actually be a good quarterback?
I tell you what, though, I think that Cam Newton probably goes to the Chargers or the Patriots or Jacoby Brissett to one of those destinations. I don't know where Jameis Winston winds up. It would be Frank. I would laugh at you every single day if Jameis Winston winds up with the Dolphins, because you two are made for each other. and Eric Flowers.
Jameis Winston just eat the L's. That's what he does. He says he eats the L's, but he sucks on L's. Nothing but L's.
Yeah, I'm gonna be. I'm pretty excited. I'm not gonna have to see those gifts of my mentions anymore.
He just is so erratic.
I would be.
I think Jacoby Brissett actually stays in Indianapolis as a backup. He is not a starting quarterback.
I would be surprised if the Patriots didn't roll with Jared Stidham from everything I'm hearing.
Oh my God.
Oh, I think they're gonna draft Fromm or Jordan Love. Maybe. I think Fromm would be. I would like Fromm in New England. I just want to see how it works out.
Oh, like a shit quarterback, Jake Fromm is there.
I like Jake Fromm. Jordan Love is not ready to play right now.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, he's not very accurate. Fromm did not have a good year last year, and you know he really kind of regressed since his first year at Georgia. But you know he is big game tested. He has shown a lot of potential. He has talent. He's the prototypical. He looks like the part of a prototypical franchise quarterback. What do they have to lose? You know, like just bring him in. You don't have a succession plan for Brady. Bring him in. I wouldn't. You know, I would rather test out Jake Fromm than Jared Stidham.
When I see Jake Fromm, I think Christian Hackenberg.
I don't think he's that bad.
I think you draft Jake Fromm. You're throwing your team into the garbage compactor.
But Frank, I don't think that Christian Hackenberg would have had his team 10 minutes away from beating Alabama in a national championship as a true freshman. I don't think that he would. I think Jake Fromm is a different type of player. I've been following him since he was in high school. I think that if he's paired with Belichick,
have nightmares of him in the Dolphins and just being just atrociously awful.
No, I think, Frank, I think the Dolphins need to go Tua or maybe even Justin Herbert, even though you
Justin
don't like
Herbert him. Just reminds me too much of Joey Harrington.
Yeah, Frank does not like Justin Herbert. He thinks he's Joey Harrington.
Joey just doesn't like Oregon quarterbacks.
HARRIGTON spells Harrington. I mean, I don't know if you guys are old enough to really remember Joey Harrington.
I do. Number two pick in the draft.
This was Heisman Joey. They put the Oregon put his picture in Times Square up as the Heisman Trophy winner. He didn't win the Heisman. He was a Heisman finalist. But yep. He was so hyped. He was supposed to be it. He was going to be the quarterback that turned around the Detroit Lions. And it just was just like from the moment he got on the NFL, it was like just you hear the car crashing.
Yeah, he just had happy feet.
I honestly think, like, the more and more I think about it, like, I don't see the Patriots getting Cam Newton. I think that I could see him going to the Chargers, but, I mean, Chargers or Dolphins probably would be lucky to have him, honestly, like, with what they have around, you know? I think mm-hmm. that they could go – either of them could be in the playoffs. I mean, we talked about the Dolphins. The Dolphins signed two of my top candidates that I wanted the Giants to sign, and Kyle Van Noy and Byron Jones.
See, the perfect spot for Tua is Miami. Because you still have Ryan Fitzpatrick. You could play Ryan Fitzpatrick for half a season or a full season. Let Tua learn the game, have a redshirt year, get 100% healthy. There's no rush, no pressure.
From everything I've heard, though, he's ready to play.
But, you know, it's best how to best handle him is to let him rest, let him get 100% healed.
No, I agree. They shouldn't rush him back, but at the same time, you know, if he's actually playing in preseason and ready to go and earns that starting spot, he'll be starting week one, especially.
Yeah,
Ryan
Fitzpatrick's not the quarterback type of quarterback that's going to stomp his feet and leave.
No, exactly. That's a perfect situation. He's a perfect guy to learn from, honestly. I don't know. Like the Dolphins, Frank, we knew they had the most cap space in the league, but they came out firing on all cylinders. They've spent a lot of money on players, and you know they look like they're going to be. They basically what Brian Flores is building, and Steve, I think you probably have noticed this too. They're building like the two dominant cornerback duo. Now they have Xavien Howard and they have Byron Jones, the two highest paid corners in the league.
Yep, I mean that's what the Miami Dolphins have been known for for a while. It was Sam Madison and Frank. Yep. What's the other guy?
It's a throwback.
Patrick. Who's the other corner? Sam Madison and Patrick. Is Patrick right? Patrick Sertan.
Yeah, Patrick Sertan. I remember years ago that they always try to get the corners. Going back to Terrell Buckley, who I used to call Toast. You know why they called him Toast, right?
Because he was always burned.
Always getting burned.
Yeah, shocker. So I actually loved – I used to love Sam Madison because in the year the Giants won the Super Bowl in 07, Sam Madison was on the team for 3 years, and he was basically like a coach in the secondary. He was coaching up Corey Webster, you know, blossomed into the number one cornerback, and Aaron Ross and a lot of guys. He really – Giants didn't have the most talented secondary back then, but Sam Madison was really – you know, he was a great resource for them to have back there. And he was a solid – he still could play a little bit too. So, Steve, I wanted to ask you, what do you think the Bucs need to do? Like, I guess, are they not, like, signing anyone else besides Brady? Like, are they going to make any more moves in free agency? Like, how's their offensive line? How's their secondary, I know, was a big problem last year. Wasn't their pass defense a huge weakness?
In the beginning of the season, yes. They drafted three young players in their secondary, two corners and a safety. The safety's still coming along, Mike Edwards, but two of the corners were actually really good in the second half of the year. Sean Murphy Bunting and then Jamel Dean, who missed the first half of the year with an injury. So their secondary, for the most part, is set. They could use another safety to rotate in, but that's going to be an open competition in camp. I would anticipate they sign someone or draft someone. Linebacking core is good. Defensive line, they could use another body. The edge rushers are set. They've got JPP coming back. They just re-signed him. Shaq Barrett is franchised. So we're good on those fronts. And Ndamukong Suh, who plays five technique defensive end, and the 3-4, they need to either re-sign him or draft someone. They could look to the draft for someone like South Carolina State's Javon Kinlaw.
Yep.
Is it true that the reason that Philip Rivers left decided to sign in Indianapolis is because Indianapolis doesn't quite have the quarantine rules that California has? I mean, currently, California, they're banning people from having 10 people in any one docile, which would mean that three of his kids would have to sleep in the garage.
That's a low blow, Frank. So, Steve, what do you think they do in the first round? Do you think they go after Kinlaw or defensive line? Do you think maybe even if – who's the Alabama – defensive lineman? Is it Derek Johnson? Who? What's his name? No.
Defensive lineman, like the edge rusher? Like,
yeah.
Terrell Lewis?
No. He's like, Derek Brown from Auburn.
From Auburn.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be there at 14. He's probably going to be a top seven guy. Kinlaw's right after him. It's a possibility. They do need help at right tackle. Their right tackle, DeMar Dotson, has been with the team since 2009. And he's just kind of long in the tooth. They could replace him. Donovan Smith is the left tackle, who's okay. He had a much better year last year than I would have expected. He signed kind of a big contract, and all his money is off the cap after this season. So I would expect them to invest in the offensive line or defensive line.
So that's the thing. There's a lot of good tackle prospects, but it's like you don't want to reach on one just because they're there. You know, you want to get the best player available, and it depends on who's going to be there. I was watching some tape on Jedrick Wills from Alabama, the right tackle.
Yeah, he's my favorite one, yeah.
Yeah, he's the most polished pass blocker, and he's still really good in the running game too. But his technique, everything is beautiful. His shoulders stay square. He's got really quick feet. Tristan Wirfs is like obviously an amazing athlete too, the Iowa right tackle. And, you know, he ran a 4.8, and he's a freak athlete, but he's lazy with his technique at times. He's sloppy and inconsistent. I think that Jedrick Wills will probably wind up being the first tackle off the board because he looks like the best one out of them. Obviously, Andrew Thomas, the Georgia left tackle, is like...
Yeah, I like him a lot.
You could be enamored at him because he's a monster in the running game and he plays left tackle, but he kind of, too, is like not the greatest pass blocker of the bunch either. I think that if Jedrick Wills is there for the Bucs, I think they definitely pounce on him. Yeah.
I think Wills is going to be gone top 10, barring something kind of unforeseen. Mekhi Becton is another interesting one from Louisville, who's just enormous. He's like 6'7". Like, I think he weighed in technically at like 351 or 346, something like that, but he played at like 360, 370, and he can move. Worse is an interesting one. Andrew Thomas seems to be a consensus, like, or not consensus, but he seems a majority of people think he's the number four of that group. I actually like him maybe the second most after Will, so I would hope that he would be there. He played left tackle in college, but has played a little bit of right tackle, so he could do that and fill in and maybe potentially replace Donovan Smith if they choose to go in a different direction after the season. So I like Thomas. I'm not sure he's going to be there. There are some tackle-needy teams like the Jets and Browns in front of them, but hopefully some of those teams' free agent signings kind of allows them to address other needs. But
is it too early to talk about who the front runner next year for Trevor Lawrence is going to be? I mean, right now, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, if they think Mr. Mustache is going to be the saving grace down there, I don't think they're going to be too happy down there. I mean, that team has become a dumpster fire.
Yeah. I mean, there aren't that many quarterback openings. Like, you know, Gardner Minshew is a sixth round pick, played well enough for them to deal Nick Foles, who was their, you know, jewel of their free agent class last year.
Yep.
But there aren't a ton of openings. I mean, you look projecting next year. I mean, yeah, Jacksonville could be bad. You're assuming Miami drafts a quarterback. Don't know if the Chargers are going to draft one this year or next year with them moving into their new stadium. You would think this is the year.
You know, yeah.
You know, the Bengals roster thing will be filled.
You know, it's going to be funny next year. The Chargers, they're going to be playing in an 80,000 seat stadium, and it's going to look like it's coronavirus every night. They couldn't fill a 30,000 seat stadium. They had most of the road, mostly teams ready for the other team. So if they're playing like the team with the Arizona Cardinals, they're gonna have like 15,000 in there going Chargers, yay! I mean, yeah, they need to get out of LA. They need to either go back to San Diego, go to London, do something. I mean, literally everyone in Los Angeles hates the Chargers.
It's a college football city. That's why. Like, it's really not. I mean, they should have just stayed in San Diego, but
I mean, in LA, they have the Rams were there years ago, so you still had the legacy of the Rams. They were able to pick up their old fan base,
and the Raiders too. What about
the Raiders? Have a fan base too. You're gonna have when the Raiders play the Chargers in LA, it's gonna look like the black hole. There are gonna be more fans in LA making the trek to Vegas every week to watch the Raiders play than they actually go to Charger games.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I actually, Steve, I have a couple more questions I wanted to touch base with you on. What do you think is going on with Jadeveon Clowney?
I mean, he just wasn't very productive last year. He had 3 sacks. He's looking for $20 million. I mean, you're paying, you know, almost $7 million a sack based on, I mean, he played 13 out of the 16 games, I believe. But I mean, I just think his asking price is way too high. He has to realize he hasn't put up elite defensive lineman numbers.
I've heard him linked to the Giants.
I have as well, yeah. It'll be interesting. I mean, I think he will get paid. Like Dante Fowler got what I would consider a pretty good deal, 3 years, $48 million, so 16 average per year. I don't think Jadeveon Clowney is going to top that. I mean, just based on production, he was, you know, almost 25% of what. Of what Fowler was last year. So, I mean, he was clearly a rental for the Seahawks. It ended up not working out in the long run because they didn't win the title. But I think he's going to find a home in the second wave of free agency.
Yeah, he was linked to the Giants, of course, but, like, they pretty much are out of cap space. So, yeah, it kind of does seem – and I know, like, sacks aren't the only – like, you and I both know, like, sacks aren't the only – things to, you know, to measure by, but for a pass rusher, like, he definitely made a big impact. Like, they, wherever he was, they had to game plan for him. They had to, you know, pay a lot of attention to him, double team him, whatever. Like, he got a lot of pressures. He only had 3 sacks, but yeah, he does need to have like the monster year, like Dante Fowler had, or even like a Robert Quinn had this year. Like, you know, so I think that you're probably right. He probably does get like a 1 year prove it deal. I would love if it was with the Giants, but I just don't see them being able to pay up the money for him. I hope it's not the Eagles. The Eagles, of course, just got Darius Slay today, and then they had to either they worked an extension with him or they're going to have to. So that might be out of the mix too. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's two very, very good defensive linemen still out on the market in Ndamukong Suh and Jadeveon Clowney. So I'm very curious to see where those two guys wind up.
Yeah, and the Eagles have been linked to Jaguars defensive end Yannick Ngakoue. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get a deal done there. I think he posted something on Instagram or something that had, like, the Eagles logo. So that could be in the works, like, as we speak. So, yeah, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney is just going to have to reset his value, you know, after this first wave is done.
Yeah, I really hope Yannick doesn't go to the Eagles. I did see that same Instagram post as you. I just don't think that they're going to give him – he wants $22 million. I don't think he's going to get that either. Yannick's a very good player, and that's someone at the start of free agency I wanted the Giants to sign really bad. But at the same time, you know, when you have multiple holes on your team, like, you just – you got to spend in other ways. Like, the Giants, I am happy with what they did. You know, with James Bradberry – Steve, you said he was – that's another thing I wanted to ask you about. I mean, you were saying, too, you like Bradberry a lot, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Bradberry's good. I'm glad he's out of the division. He's on the Panthers, so in my division. And, yeah, he just always gave Mike Evans fits. He was a feisty corner. I think he was a third-round pick. But he just second always round. Gave Mike Evans problems. Yeah. Very physical guy, very aware guy. I'm happy to see him in another uniform.
And Michael Thomas, too. He consistently locked up Mike Evans and Michael Thomas. Mike Evans did beat him on a couple plays yep. last year, but, I mean, who didn't he beat, you know?
Yep.
There's always going to be plays when you're going up against him. I do really love that signing. I like Blake Martinez, too. I didn't love it at first. Watched some early tape on him and didn't think he was that aggressive, but then saw some more in-depth, you know, film on him, and I like what they got with him. I like what they got with Kyler Frackle, who was – you know, 10.5 sack guy 2 years ago. So the Giants defensive coordinator, Patrick Graham, was the linebackers coach for the Packers in 2018. So that's why they brought in Blake Martinez and Colin Frackle. And, yeah, and honestly, I think that they possibly could bring in Clay Matthews, but, you know, he might cost some money, so maybe not. Yeah, but other than that, I do like what they did. I don't love Leonard Williams, obviously, but he is a productive player. They're going to have to get him on a long-term deal, and then Giants still have some, you know, moves to make on offense.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Clay Matthews end up retiring.
It's possible. He's not really what
I think he's reached the end of the road. I mean, he hasn't been good in like 4 years, and unless he's willing to take a real small contract, I don't see him going anywhere.
I actually have a trade scenario for you both, and especially you, Steve. I wanted to run this by you, but we talked about the Chargers possibly trading up to get Tua in the draft. I was thinking, again, like something along the lines of, like, if the Chargers wound up swapping with the Giants, say the Lions did go Okuda at 3, Giants wound up swapping with the Lions or with the Chargers at 6, get the Chargers 37th pick in the draft for that and swap picks. Giants get Isaiah Simmons at 6. They use their 36th pick and their 99th pick to trade back into late first round to get Zach Bond, the edge rusher from Wisconsin. And then at pick number 37 that they got from the Chargers, they draft Tyler Baidez, who's the center coming out from Wisconsin. What do you think? Do you think there's any possibility that that happens, or is that just too perfect of a drawn-up scenario?
I mean, you're insinuating right now that Dave Gettleman, who's never made a trade in 7 years, makes two trades. So, yeah. I don't think that that's a real – I mean, it's fun to play, like, on the draft network on the mock draft machine, but I don't see that as, like, a realistic thing. I mean, just look at kind of where you're picking, and you can kind of choose from there. I think that's a pretty safe route to go with Dave Gettleman's GM.
To be fair, they did trade back into the first round last year to get DeAndre Baker at pick number 30. They did do that trade, so that's why I can see – Giants had 10 draft picks. I could see them doing something similar this year, trading back into the first, possibly to grab someone late in the first round, because there are some tackles who could be available. There's some really good centers who could be available. And then obviously Zach Bond, who's, you know, kind of a world beater. He's kind of like another Ryan Connolly in a sense. And those Wisconsin guys are really cut different. So I would, you know, I would love that, especially if they are done adding pass rushers, because they really don't have any money left.
I would say this. I would say the Giants have a lot of holes. I would much rather trade down than trade up.
Do you think that they should go defense with their first pick or tackle?
I would like to, if I was a Giants fan, I would probably invest highly in protecting Daniel Jones. I mean, Nate Solder didn't turn out very well last year. I know he went through some injuries, so maybe he'll bounce back a little bit. But you guys still need help along the offensive line. This is a very rich offensive line class, especially at the top. I think they should take advantage, stick where they are, if not trade down a couple spots, if that is in the cards, and address that area.
But could you see them passing up on Isaiah Simmons if he's there when they're when they're on the clock? You really could see that. A 4-3, a linebacker, 230 pounds, who runs a 4-3-9 and can play pretty much any position on defense and rush the passer and cover top wide receivers. You'd think that Dave Gettleman, especially after he picked Saquon Barkley 2 years ago at number two, do you really think they would pass up on him? Because that's pretty tough.
I mean, your question is riddled with, you know, you say you're not a Gettleman hater, but you're just basically saying he has no concept of position of value. I mean, the Bucs drafted Devin White fifth last year. I wasn't happy with it because of the position of value. You know, you can get a 4-3 linebacker, an inside linebacker that's really good in the second round and the third round. I mean, Darius Leonard a couple of years ago was the best, you know, arguably the best young linebacker in football. Yeah. With a second round pick. I mean, you can get these guys a little bit later. So Isaiah Simmons has a lot of sexy measurables. But I mean, you look at Jeremy Chinn, who's another player who's, you know, kind of in that safety linebacker mold, that money backer mold, who has basically the exact same measurables as Simmons. You can get him in the second round. You know, Isaiah Simmons comes with a name brand of Clemson and, you know, doing it on the big stage. But it's not like his numbers aren't able to be repeated. So
the thing is, like, I'm like, don't get me wrong, I'm fine with the Saquon Barkley pick. I didn't mean to. I'm just saying historically, you know, he did pick Barkley over Quentin Nelson or before a quarterback. If we want to talk about positional value, though, he did draft a quarterback last year over Josh Allen, who was like the best pass rusher in the draft, who had a great year for Jacksonville. That was hard. He said that was a really difficult, you know, pick for him to pass up on. And as a Giants fan, I was disappointed that they wound up going Jones at six over Josh Allen, because I knew how good Josh Allen was. Be that as it may, yes. Now, I think Isaiah Simmons could be an all-pro, and that's why they would take him. But at the same time, I think at this point, maybe if they went left tackle or tackle in general, best tackle prospect available at their pick, even if they didn't trade down, and then got Zach Bond in the second round or something along the lines of that, I think that overall it would make the team better because it would fill more holes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, do you have any other like must needs for the Bucs in this draft? Like anyone who like they need to get a starter in like the second round, third round? Like, who is there a position of really like evident need?
I'd be surprised if they didn't draft a running back, unless they address it in free agency. But Peyton Barber, who was the starter for a portion of last year, is going to be no longer with the team. So you got Ronald Jones, who had an okay season, definitely greatly improved over his rookie year. But I think that they're going to address that area. It always seems like we draft a receiver.
You know, Todd Gurley would be a good fit for them.
Yep, that's what I'm saying.
Assuming his knees and legs check out, I don't disagree with you, but also not at that value.
Yeah. You know who's actually kind of a good prospect, and it reminds me because obviously he's a Florida guy. Cam Akers, the running back from FSU, that could be a steal for somebody in the mid round.
Yeah, he actually reminds me of Ronald Jones play style wise. I think especially with Tom Brady, we'd be looking for more of a pass catcher, so someone like a Clyde Edwards-Helaire or something like that. I think they're gonna look for like kind of a James White type, maybe even a Deion Lewis scat back, assuming he is healthy.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Frank, do you have any other needs or a specific player in mind for the Dolphins? Anyone on your wish list?
You guys got three first-round picks. You better have some.
I mean, it begins and ends at quarterback.
Who's the apple of your eye at quarterback?
I think Frank just froze. Oh, no.
Am I freezing out?
Frank, we can hear you. I think you're unfrozen. Who do you want? Steve wants to know who you would take a quarterback. Who's your number one pick?
I would try to send all three to, as I was saying when I was frozen, to Cincinnati for Burrow.
Huh. You think that there's a
you would send all three?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Is that like a scenario where like What if the Bengals just really, really, really want Burrow and know he's going to, like, alter their franchise, which that's, you know, what I'm thinking at least. Like, do you think that 3 first-round picks does the trick for them? Like, it kind of is like an offer, like, maybe you can't refuse, and also, like, you, it's really hard to, you know, not consider that, even if you are dead set on a player.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the Bengals are kind of all in on Burrow, which would make sense, but I do know that they really liked Justin Herbert. They spent a week with him at the Senior Bowl, got to coach him. He was the MVP of that game. If they can get, I don't know how their board is stacked, but if they have a similar type of grade at Justin Herbert, who theoretically you could get at 5, then yeah, that would certainly be a very interesting proposition. If you can have 2 first-round picks this year, you can get much better in a hurry.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yes, if the Dolphins begins and ends a quarterback. They have not had a franchise quarterback in 20 years.
Yep, yeah. Nope, not since Marino. Oh.
Yeah, I can't relate.
Jeez. Steve, I really, again, I cannot believe that Brady chose the Bucs. What do you think, like, why? Why do you think he left the Patriots?
The weapons. I mean, he's been there for 20 years. Their best, you know, they brought in Antonio Brown this year. It obviously didn't work out. You know, Josh Gordon they shipped off too. You know, who is he really looking forward to throwing the ball there? There's no Gronk. You know, they brought back Ben Watson. Like, there he doesn't have desirable guys that get
you know what's great is Josh Gordon this year now could actually take a punt out and blow smoke right in the face of Goodell. Yeah.
So yeah. The thing is, though, the Patriots should have been in on Eric Ebron, who's still a free agent. They do have Edelman. N'Keal Harry, you know, you hope develops. You know, Sanu didn't work out for them last year.
Well, we have some baseball news.
Is it good?
Well, it's bad for only one team.
Hopefully it's not the Mets.
Nope. Chris Sale needs Tommy John surgery.
No.
Yep.
Wow.
The Red Sox announced that Chris Sale will undergo Tommy John surgery.
Why would they wait for so long? Like, hasn't his elbow been messed up for a while?
They've been trying to avoid it, but it was balky last year. He didn't have a good year last year. He hasn't pitched in. Wasn't pitching in preseason, and now they announced that he needs Tommy John surgery.
Well, good thing the season pretty much is not going to happen this year. Like, at least it'll be shortened to half a season, so.
Well, you know the history. If you have Tommy John surgery in March, that means probably the earliest he'll pitch next year is June.
Probably. We saw it with Zach Wheeler a couple years ago.
Well, no, Zach Wheeler missed 2 years.
Yeah, but he...
BSA fucked up the stitching of his fucking elbow. The Mets are incompetent.
Yeah, no, of course they did. All right, well, Steve, thanks a lot for being here. It was great, great catching up and great discussing Brady and congratulations for getting the greatest quarterback of all time. Even though he's 43, you guys should be, you know, at least get a couple good years out of him. So, good for you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Tampa Bay, Tom Brady's ready to play. The Bucs might be good or he could end up blowing up in her face.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, see you guys.
All right, let me get this set off. War!